Don't these guys do an awesome job ushering us into the presence of God? Give them a hand. And the best is yet to come. You have to know that. The best is yet to come for you. The best is yet to come for this house. The best is yet to come for our city. I'm just telling you, there's something that's happening in our city. There's something that's happening in our house. There's something that's happening in our homes. But all of it is if we let it. Y'all following me? And I'm telling you, great stuff is to come. And so my prayer for us as a body is that we continue to grow as followers of Jesus, and we grow in our walk with him. And we've grown tremendously even since we opened this facility, haven't we? And so I mentioned it a couple weeks ago, but we are making it official. We are going to 2 services in October, starting October 5th, and we're going to be having 2 times, 9:30 and 11:15, so I hope that works for you, but I need some love, because like you, as a pastor, you get like all sorts of feedback. Can we get some love? Come on. It's going to be good, I promise you. We got to make room for people who aren't here yet. Come on. Woo! That's got to be our media guys. What?
Hey, Pastor. How's it going, bud? If we're going to go to 2 services, we got to do it way bigger than that. Is it okay if I do that?
Y'all know who this is? If you don't know who this is Jordan. He is our media guy. Give him a hand. And he's our awesome drummer. And we love him. He's fantastic. Yes, we are going to 2 services. And yes, you can do your thing and make it awesome. Can y'all help him make it awesome, please? We love you, Jordan. You're awesome.
How's it going, everybody? Are y'all having fun this morning? Okay, we're about to have a little more fun. As Pastor Todd just said, we're going to 2 service times at 9:30 and 11:15. And I am pumped up. Do you know why? Because when there's more seats in this auditorium available, that means there's more people that can come in and be touched by the love of Christ. I don't know about y'all, but that's a good thing. Can I get an amen? Awesome. Okay, so we decided we're going to make this a lot of fun. Instead of just saying, hey, show up at 9:30 or 11:15, we know that you guys tend to publicize your lives on social media. We have a few great examples, actually. Some of these people don't know this is about to happen, so let's enjoy. Blake Welsh loves Tony Romo, doesn't he? He's a big Tony Romo fan. As a matter of fact, he's also, he loves Apple, too. Actually, if you have an iPhone and you're his friend, you're actually not. He's lying. Everybody knows, okay, Lanisha and Dana, always a surprise. You never know what they're going to post. You can't even photobomb them. They're so good. And this is Parenting 101 right here. That's Naomi. She's great with PowerPoint, but with kids, we don't know. So, and this is her husband. And see, that's why he runs sound, because he's better at Guitar Hero than, oh, I'm sorry, I'm just talking.
He runs sounds because he's awesome
at it. Yeah, because he's awesome at it. We love you, Kevin. Okay, so here's the whole point of that. Here's the point. Is that we want you guys to actually post on social media what service you're going to go to using this hashtag, 2 times to choose. So we're going to do the Jimmy Fallon thing. Everybody do this? Like that? So go hashtag 2 times to choose. Okay, so we're going to have this running board that every time you post on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook and put the hashtag, it's going to come up on a running feed where you can see what everybody at COTK is doing. That's a lot of fun. You're going to meet new people, and your friends and family that may not come to church with you might see that and go, oh, yeah, that's a cool church. I might have come hang out with them. But that's not even the best part. The best part is this next slide. We are going to be giving away a random gift card every Sunday leading up until we launch. And all you have to do is post. So whether it's a picture or a video telling us what time you're choosing, what service you're going to go to. And even better than that, we're giving away a huge family fun pack with like movie passes and dinner and all kinds of stuff. I wish I had like 6 kids and a better chance of winning. And because you, hey, post for each kid. I'm thinking you get 1 kid, 9:30, 1 kid, 11:15, more chances.
That's the man with no children.
Just spread it out. I'm all about the odds, okay? And the very last one, that family fun pack, on the day of that service, it's going to be a celebration. So instead of just saying, oh, I'm leaving early so I make it to Tony's or I catch the Saints game, or you just, you know, like to sleep in late, it'll be more fun than that. We're giving away that huge pack at 9:30 on that Sunday, the first Sunday in October, and at 11:15. So, is everybody going to go post? Yes. awesome. If you go to the Church of the King Facebook after today, there's going to be some, I hope they're funny, examples that we put up so you can see, maybe get some ideas. So we love y'all and can't wait for two services.
Y'all give Jordan a hand. Awesome. If you don't know what a hashtag is, you're probably not someone who owns a smartphone. Oh, I am excited. You know, the reality is we could just pack out even more one service. It's just not that much fun, in all honesty. As much as I love people, sometimes it can be a little awkward sitting like this next to them, can it? So this I know. God's called us to love him, to love others, and to serve. And when we do that, the natural byproduct in our personal life is growth. And as we do that as a body, the natural outpouring of that is growth. So my heart for you is that you can reach outside of yourself because you love God, because you love people, and serve them. You know how easy it is to invite somebody to church? Man, my life was transformed because I encountered God. And here's the truth. It never happened at a church. Like, every life-changing event that took place in my life, it didn't happen at a church. You don't have to go to church. But I'm just wondering to myself as I look back, I think it's because I was in church and around people that could encourage me to really seek God and trust him. And when we came together, it was like a celebration because we were loving God together, and I needed that. And when you do that, I'm just telling you, you will grow, and this place will grow. The best is yet to come. You know that? I hope so. We're continuing on with this series. I love it. Small things making a big difference. We talked last week about you are what you think, and that your thoughts will make a tremendous difference. How you think about yourself, how you think about others, how you think about life, it's going to determine the quality of life that you actually have. Your thoughts are a big deal. So what do you think on? Hopefully we set our mind on what God has called us to. We look at Philippians chapter 4. May we set our mind on things that are honorable, that are true, that are upright, that are excellent. May we not keep our brain in the gutter. And I'm just telling you, if you are living online and living on on Facebook, and you are subjected to the gutter every day, am I right? You are. Do you know, even American Psychology Association had said that those that, I forgot the amount of time that spend, it was a significant amount of time, but it wasn't a surprising amount of time. It was like an hour or more a day on Facebook. They were significantly more likely to experience depression and a low self-esteem. Why is that? Because human nature is to compare ourselves to others and to think of ourselves in terms of how others view us rather than think on how God has already said we are if we trust him and we set our mind on things above. But today, I'm speaking on words because words are huge. Words are powerful. Have you heard the adage, your greatest strength is your greatest weakness? Has any of you heard that before? If you haven't, you should probably write that down because it's so true. Your greatest strength is your greatest weakness. I never had a problem finding the right words to say in the moment. I could just say them. I knew what to say when. That was both good and bad. It was a tremendous strength because when I was put on the spot, I could always say the thing that would either get me out of trouble or it was the appropriate thing to say, or I knew how to make people feel good, or I knew how to say the right things. Anybody ever had that gift before? Like, you know how to say the right thing. Like, one other person's honest. There's some people in here with the gift of gab. Y'all got that silver-lined tongue? Anybody got the gift of gab? You're good with your words. You know what to say, when to say it. Now, okay, keep it up. Just show me. Show me your hands. Now, put them back down. Now, we're going to do this again. How many of you, like, when you get into a tense situation and somebody's, like, ugly to you and, like, you know exactly how to put them in their place, like, you have the ability to speak that out and you can, in that moment, just, like, smack them right between the eyes with the words, like, what you tell them, like, oh, really? And then you come back with this really witty, funny, and devastating comment. Does anybody know how to do that? Please raise your hand. Oh, a lot more hands. Okay, thank you. To my point, your greatest strength can be your greatest weakness. Those of you that say, man, I can really stick it to somebody with my words. I know how to put them in their place because they're acting a fool. Maybe you're like me. And God has given you really just a skill to be able to utilize words. But my prayer for you is that you recognize that the strength that God's given you in that will become a weakness when used for your own devices. Because let me just tell you, there's power in a word. It's the title of the message, Power of the Word. In James chapter 3, and we're going to turn there, it says this, starting with verse 2. It says, indeed, we all make many mistakes. Can anybody, you can sympathize with that? Like, man, you get, like, that relates to me. Like, indeed, we all make many mistakes. I totally get that. This message that I've prepared is honestly the most convicting to me because I've been a man of many words, and many of them have not been words that should have been spoken. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. That's a powerful scripture. If we could control what? Our tongues. We'd be perfect and could control ourselves in every other way. That's profound, isn't it? Is the tongue important? Yeah. Look at verse 3. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It's a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. This is like potent stuff, isn't it? People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It's restless and evil. It's full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. That alone is convicting. What's coming out of my mouth? Like with this mouth, with my tongue, with my words, I bless God, and then I get frustrated and aggravated, and instead of using what God's given me to be a blessing to him and to others, I use that to wound and to hurt because I'm frustrated or I myself am hurt. Man, words are so powerful. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, the Bible says this. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Now just leave that verse up there for just a moment. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. I grew up in church, and they'd quote scriptures back at the pastor. And I never heard it this way. I'm guessing they said it this way, but I never heard it this way. I heard life and death are in the power of the tongue. That's actually not what it says in any version that I can find. It says death and life are in the power of the tongue. Why is that? And do you think the syntax here matters? Do you think the arrangement of the words actually matter in this? I think they do. Because what in this broken world and in a human nature that if we're not conformed to the image of Christ, that we're walking in a brokenness ourselves, what comes out of our mouth without any effort? What usually comes out first, death or life? Death. That's why it says death and life. But I want to be a reminder to you today that life can be in our words. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it, love what? The power of the tongue. Either way, you're going to eat the fruit of what you say. If you you're in that moment and you say something and like it's a zinger and it's good and you're like, uh-huh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. And you see the look on their face, and it's like shock, and like it's amazing, and you're like, oh yeah, that stuck. Ultimately, you'll eat the fruit of that. But if you allow God to conform you to what he wants, you'll still eat the fruit of what you speak, but it's not death in the end. It's life. Words are important. Words are powerful. Why are they important? Three simple things why words are important. Number one, words convey meaning. It's information. Words, I mean, this isn't really that much of a revelation, I hope. Words are by which the manner most of us communicate. There's information and communication that take place. Now, I'm going to look at word in more than us allowing the air that comes from our lungs to vibrate our vocal cords and come out as vibrations, and I'm going to define the word, is something a little bit more than that which is simply heard, because we do have people in our society that cannot hear and they are deaf or they are mute. Words come from the inside of us, and they're forms of information to communicate. Why are words important? Because they convey meaning. But information given from an individual to another individual or a group of individuals, it's never simply just information. On occasion, it is. It can be. If you're on the phone with somebody and you say, oh, what time will that shipment arrive? I mean, that's just information. But when we really begin to use our tongue and look at how it's used in our daily life, we recognize that it's far more than just information or communication. It conveys meaning. It conveys emotion. It conveys feelings. You're great. Oh, you're really so awesome. Wow, you're the best thing ever. There's nobody like you. No one on the face of the planet is as good or smart or as powerful as you, because you are just unbelievable. I mean, all of humanity should just be amazed at how, oh, amazingly, wonderfully you're made. I mean, you're just like, whoa. Okay, if we just put that up in text, that'd be pretty awesome, wouldn't it? You'd be like, wow, that's way cool. Thank you. But words convey meaning. That's why they're important. Yeah, but I didn't mean it that way. You said that before? Have you been told that before? Why don't you just say what you mean? Or why don't you mean what you say? Words are important because they convey meaning. The second reason why words are important: words reveal our heart. You ever wonder what's going on the inside of you? What's inside your heart? All you have to do is take an inventory of the words that you're speaking. Luke 6:45 and Matthew 12:35, it's the same thing. It says, from an overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus said that. We see that recorded twice. What's inside of your heart is going to manifest itself in the words that you speak. They reveal our heart. You want to know what's in somebody's heart? What are the words that they say? But here's the conundrum, because we say like mismatched things, don't we? How many of you have been in an argument with somebody that you really care for and you say, you're pathetic, I can't believe you did that, I hate you. And you say it. Did you mean it? Maybe just for a fraction of a second, but not really. But they reveal something inside of your heart. They're conveying something to other people, and then we wonder why they get upset or why they're hurt or why they're wounded. Let me tell you, we have broken people all around us, and many, many, many times the sole reason, or at least the foundation of that reason, of why they're broken is because they've been told over and over something from a broken heart about themselves. Of those incarcerated and life sentences, almost 80% of them were told growing up that they were no good and that they were going to end up in prison. Words reveal our heart. I mean, I'll be honest, this message is tremendously convicting for me. Very convicting. Because I never want death to come out of my mouth. Words are important because they reveal meaning, because they reveal our heart. The third thing, words have a huge spiritual component. I don't know that we realize when we speak them how powerful they actually are. I think all of us have been in the situation where we want to take words back. It just doesn't happen. There's that one thing that you can hold on with people that you know and you love because you know them very well, and because love is transparent, you can see every area of their heart. Let me just tell you, the people that you love the most, you'll be able to see their flaws the most clearly. And the enemy's tactic for you is to get you to speak something stupid that you know is there, that's in their heart, that's sensitive, that's broken. And when you end up in a place where you're in so much pain that you want the other person to hurt, his plan for you is to speak that very thing that you know will devastate I mean, it can be something really simple. Oh, you've put on a few pounds, haven't you? Looks nice. You're dead. That's it. Pack up, baby. It's done. Honestly, though, aren't there things that you know and the people that you're closest to? And let me just tell you, there's a transparency that you're able to see in others when you're in a genuinely loving relationship. It doesn't mean it's without conflict. In fact, many times the ability to see things that are there are the source of conflict. But the enemy's tactic is for you to speak that out because there's a spiritual component to words. Genesis chapter 1. Heck, it's really simple. What did God say? What did he do to create this world? What did he do? He spoke, and God said, let there be light. God said, let there be light, and there was light. In John chapter 1, we see, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's talking about Jesus. Jesus is called the Word. Why? Because that's the very thing that embodies the essence of who God is. It's the Word. It's Jesus for us that we see it in John chapter 1. But that Word is so powerful. It's a creative force that it brings light into the darkness. That we see when God spoke, light came, life came, love came, blessing came. All of those manifested themselves in Jesus. Our words have a spiritual component. You know, not every word. Hey, turn left here. There's not a spiritual component with that. There can be. Depends on how condescending, how broken, how messed up and you are, and how much you want to inflict pain or misery or torment on the other person. Even something as simple as turn left here. I mean, you can use that to be a spiritual word. Are y'all following me here? It's amazing how you see people that are really close, it's usually in marriages or in couples that are very close, and you can see even something is like directions being given to go to a specific place. Like if you just typed out the transcript, you see that's fine, but when you're there, you're realizing every one of those words are meant to be an arrow to stick in somebody's heart. Have y'all been around that? There's a spiritual component to our words. There is a divine power to create in words. It's from God. It's what he used to create this world. It's an example for us. There's also a demonic power to destroy. In Genesis chapter 3, all the way back in the beginning, here's what we see, that the serpent in chapter 3, verse 1, he goes to Adam and he goes to Eve and he begins to question them about God. He actually says in chapter 3, verse 1, since the serpent was the shrewdest of the wild animals the Lord God had made, and one day he asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any tree in the garden? He sowed a seed of doubt that ultimately manifested itself in death. Words have a spiritual component. Your words will either create or they will destroy. Your words will be used by God to create a place for you to live. What did God speak, let there be light for? The foundation of this world. Who was it created for? Well, it was created for him and his pleasure, but who did he put on there to have a relationship with? You and me. When your words line up with the truth that God has for you, they create the place that he has destined for you all along. It's a place of light, of life, of love, of joy, of peace, of order. But the enemy's tactic and plan for you is to speak words that destroy. It's a demonic plan, and it begins with seeds of doubt. I don't know if they really want me here. What a powerful seed, isn't that? I don't know if they really love me anymore. I don't know if I'm any good. What are your words like? What are your words like? It's kind of convicting as I have thought this past week and inventoried my words. I've actually had to go back to people and say, hey, look, I'm really sorry. I know I was just being silly and joking around, but like that could have been potentially devastating. I was being silly. I know you're a secure dude, but like, I'm sorry. Like, please forgive me. Just for poking fun at someone, it wasn't a big deal. And they were like, what are you talking about, man? I don't care. I don't want to be somebody whose words destroy. I want to be somebody whose words are used by God to create, to shine light in darkness, to bring life, to foster love. Is that what you want? I hope so. So, what are your words like? Are they life-giving or are they life-taking? On a scale of 1 to 10, life-taking versus life-giving, towards others, where do you rank? Are your words towards others a 10? Like, every time I speak, all the time, it's nothing but giving life to other people. Or is it life-taking? Now, there's a progression here. Because last week we spoke about thoughts. How do you think about people, others? Do you believe the best about others? Because when you believe the best about others and you say, God, I need your help. I need an encounter with you. You need to transform me so that I can see people as you see them. You'll begin to believe the best about people. Do you see the progression of thoughts to words? Because all a word is a thought that's expressed. Do you have life-taking or life-giving words about other people? What are they? And as I evaluate that, I'm going, Lord, I'm not a 10. And if you're not a 10, you need this message. How about towards yourself? Towards yourself, where do you rank? Do you rank above a 5? Man, that's pretty good. Here's what I've found, just a simple principle. Say, yeah, you know, on occasion, I'm speaking some 1s, 2s, 3s, 4s about myself. But, you know, for the most part, like, I'm speaking 5s, 6s, 7s, 8s, 9s. I mean, it's pretty good. If you do that towards yourself, okay, you think, like, well, I mean, yeah, I'll speak a lot of the life-taking, but I speak more life-giving. Let me tell you, that's good, but let's play that out in a marriage. If I tell my wife, 90% of the time, she's beautiful, she's wonderful, I think she's fantastic, she's a great mom. But 1 out of 10 times, I say, can you just like fix, do something with your hair and your makeup? Like, you could do better. And like, really? Like, this is the best you can, how does that play out? And like, I'm just saying, like 90% of the time, my words are really good. But that 10%, it's just a 10, it's a small 10%. Does that play out well? No. My heart for us is not that we like, well, we take a step. I want us to take steps. Absolutely. There's a process. But can I tell you, I pray that our mind is transformed in a moment so that we can recognize the power of what we think, that our mind is set on Christ, that we're transformed because of him, and that it manifests itself in our words, and that we recognize that the words that we speak do nothing but show what we're setting our mind on, and they're an indicator of what's in our heart. Because God doesn't look at the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. Let me just tell you, your words are an indicator of what's going on inside of you. Is it outward? You better believe it. But it shows what's happening on the inside. So the question then, how do we change our words? I mean, James chapter 3 is, I mean, all the, it's so powerful. It's like a bit in a horse's mouth. It's like a rudder on a ship. It's like a spark that can set a fire. That's what our words are like. He's saying, but we bless God with our words and then we curse other people. That's not right. So how do we get to the place where we stop doing what's wrong and doing what is right? Y'all following me? I'm just going to go back to what I said in the last two messages. We have to let God do the work. God wants to do a work in your life. You simply have to give him a place. He wants a place in your life. Are you giving it to him? It's convicting. So often, we just want to muscle through it. We have to allow God to do the work. But we can identify what's inside of us. Three things on how to change our words. Number one, stop speaking death. What are you talking about? I mean, I'm like not telling people I wish you would die. I mean, I'm not doing that. Let me just tell you, the enemy is sneaky and he's smart. He did not go in the garden to Adam and Eve and say, I want to kill you. I want you to die. Die, 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 die. He didn't do that. He simply sowed seeds of doubt. when Satan himself went to Jesus, he said, if you're the Son of God. That word, if, is so powerful. Because if God really loves me, why would he? You don't understand, maybe. You don't know what's going on. If God loved me, why would that? You allow doubt to come into your heart, you're in trouble. You've got to know. You have to know what God thinks about you. You have to know what God says about you, where you've come from, who you are today, and the plan that he has for you tomorrow. Let me tell you right now, you have to know what God says about you, what he thinks about you, and what he has planned for you. How do you stop speaking death? Yes, you stop speaking death. When you hear it coming out of your mouth, you can just bite your tongue. Like if you're negative towards people, stop. If you're negative towards yourself, stop. Stop speaking death. When you recognize that which is coming out of your mouth, and it's death, it could just be, man, I don't know if this marriage is ever going to work out. I really don't think I can do this job. My employer's crazy. Are they ever going to get their stuff together? I mean, it's just a mess. This is pathetic. Here's what I want you to do. It's just a simple little exercise that lets you know where your heart is. When you find yourself speaking those things, and you're going, should I say that? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to tag on the end of it, and that's the way I want it. Man, my marriage is a mess. I don't think this thing's ever going to get better, and that's the way I want it. Really? Is that how you want it? Does anybody here want their marriage to be a mess and never get better? Man, my boss is crazy. I don't think this work thing's ever going to work out, and that's the way I want it. I'm a loser, man. How could I do something so stupid? Man, if I just get my brain together, but I'm such a messed up in my head. I'm like OCD, ADD, no good, nothing. I can't do anything for any length of time without getting distracted. It's pathetic. I'm pathetic. And that's the way I want it. Is it really? May we recognize the power that our words have. May we recognize that. And may we stop speaking death. The second thing, how do we change our words? Let me just tell you, you inventory what's coming out of your mouth, and that which should not be spoken, don't speak it. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth. I mean, the Bible's full of verses. Just read through Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 4 says, a gentle word is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. How many of you here have been crushed because somebody spoke death over you? I mean, they weren't saying, I want to kill you, but they said something that cut you to the core and crushed you on the inside. Anybody here? They're spiritually powerful, so stop speaking death. The second thing, start speaking life. If you think something good, say it. Okay, y'all repeat that after me. When I think something good, I will say it. Y'all gonna say that with me? Come on. When I think something good, I will say it. Can I tell you, that's been one of my strengths. I'll tell people good things. See, but my weakness portion because of my mouth has always been, I'm also gonna point out the bad. And I should probably keep my mouth shut. But some people aren't like that. Like, you don't say the bad stuff, but like, you fail to say the good stuff. It's equally as devastating. Because people that do talk all the time, let me just tell you right now, they need affirmation. Because something ain't right there if you're talking all the time, all the time, all the time. I'm just saying from personal experience, and the Bible says in Proverbs, in an abundance of words, surely there's iniquity. If you say, well, I'm pretty good about not saying bad stuff to people, inventory your words and start speaking life. How many of you say, I think good things about people, but it's tough for me to say that? Isn't that anybody in here? Raise your hands high. Come on. I'm just telling you, it's probably more than we had raise our hands. We have to start speaking life. If you are driving down the road and you think of something good about someone, let me just tell you, pick up the phone. Please don't text them while you're driving. Pick up the phone and leave them a voicemail. Call them, say, listen, I was just thinking, like, you do just a fantastic job making people feel welcomed at Church of the King. You're awesome. You made me feel welcome. Thank you. Do you know how much people appreciate that sort of thing? How do we change our words? We inventory what's coming out of our mouth, and we stop speaking death. We start speaking life. The last thing, as we wrap up, seek truth. You want to change your words. Seek truth. Seek truth. In John 8:32, Jesus says, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." When you know the truth about who God is, and you seek him, and like you're seeking that truth, you'll find it, but you'll have to decide if you're going to believe it. Seek truth, and then believe truth. And I love knowledge. The book of Proverbs was written by the wisest man who ever lived, and he said that we should love knowledge. I love reading. I love it. And the more I find out about how this world was made, about where we've come from historically, about humanity in general, about science, about astronomy, can I just tell you that it's something inside of me goes, that's truth, that's truth, that's truth. And I recognize that when there is truth, there's got to be someone who's given it. I'll just tell you right now, you want to change the words that are coming out of your mouth? How do I change that? I don't want to speak death. I want to speak life. Here it is. Seek truth. When you seek, you can start with scientific truth. I'm fine with that. But find the ultimate source of truth. It is the Word of God. It's the Word of God that was manifest in Jesus. And when I speak truth, it's powerful. I seek truth. Stop speaking death. How many of you here, you say, I know me, and I know I need today to stop speaking death. Is that anybody? I'm gonna raise both hands. If you're here and you say, I know that I need to speak up and speak life to people, is that anybody here? Do those things. You can do those things as an exercise of your will, but it'll never stick, at least not for the long term, until you come to the place where you recognize how God views you and how he views other people and the plan that he has for you. God has a tremendous plan for you. Man, so many people just don't know. God loves them. He has a plan for them. He's not waiting there to destroy them. He's begging them with everything that he has, with open arms saying, turn to me. I love you. It's the story of the prodigal son that Jesus told. The son who spit in his father's face, said, I wish you were dead. I hate you. Give me all of your money. I'm going to go do what I want to do. And the father was standing there waiting for the son to return. In the same manner, God is waiting for us to have a revelation of the truth. He loves us. He created us for life, for love, for freedom, for hope. It is all available for us as we surrender to his word. That word is Jesus. The power of the word. Our words create or our words destroy. We decide. My prayer for all of us is we check our hearts this week and say, Lord, what are words that I'm speaking? He begins to transform us and he shows us the truth. Why do you speak that over yourself? Why are you hating on yourself? Why? That's not how God sees you. Brings you to the truth that he loves you and is waiting for you to turn and run to him. Let's bow our heads. If you're here and you say, Pastor, today I need to turn to him. I've never done that. I look at my life. I look at me on the inside and it's not full of light and love and joy and peace. It's full of misery and pain, chaos and confusion. Let me just tell you, that is exactly where the devil wants you. But God says, come to me. If you're heavy burdened, I'll give you rest. If you're here and you've never surrendered to the truth of God and Jesus, today is your day. Nobody's looking around. If you say, Pastor, that's me. I want to surrender my life to Christ today. If that's you, just raise your hand. Nobody's looking. Say, Pastor, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So what we're going to do, we're all going to pray out loud right now. You guys just repeat after me. Say, Dear God, I give you my life. I turn to you. I want your truth in my life. I know you love me. I surrender to you. Thank you for taking the penalty of my sin on the cross. I give my life to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can look up here. Let me tell you, if you raised your hand and you prayed that, that's you turning as God's waiting right there with open arms saying, here I am. And the Bible says that even the angels in heaven rejoice when one person who's been in their sin and their misery and a lie turns to Christ. The angels rejoice. How much more does God himself? Can we give those guys a hand this morning? Let's stand up. Prayer partners, you guys can come. We're going to dismiss in just a moment. If you prayed that prayer, I'm begging you, please come up. Let us pray with you. Let us encourage you. We're seeing people saved at every service. I'm excited about the future. May we be a group of people who walk out of here and only speak words that bring life and create an environment in which God can move. Father, thank you for this time this morning. I just pray that we are a blessing to you in everything that we do, that the words of our mouth, the meditation of our heart is pleasing in your sight, God. May we honor you in all that we do. And I just pray this blessing on everyone here. May we follow you, Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Dismissed. If you need prayer, you come.